we still had to shoot a thesis film to graduate. Mm-hmm. No thesis film, you don't graduate. So I gave them Traffic Cop. It's a buddy cop movie starring myself, Giovanni Lozada, and Sharon Bay. We all went to film school together. Yeah. They turned it down because it said the movie's too long. It has to be 5 minutes. It's a thesis. Your movie is 20 minutes. You can't shoot this. I went behind their back and shot it anyway. We're out there. And because I was also working for the film school, I was working in the film equipment camera area. So I had access to all the new equipment and everything. So I rent out the equipment, no film, my thesis film on the weekend, didn't know about it. And one day they found out and they said, hey, we've been hearing you shooting a thesis film behind our back, so you might be expelled. I said, can I just show you guys a rough cut?
You two are the worst traffic cops this department has ever produced.
Captain, what did we do?
We're the best traffic cops you guys got.
Yeah.
The department heads want to be observed by the new traffic cop captain.
New traffic cop captain?
I've been fired because of the two of you. Actress, heads turning left and right, got him crashing. Before I end up in an accident, I'm giving her a green light. Green light, green light, green light. I'm giving her a green light.
Green light, green light, green light. Green light. Green light. Oh. And they're like, this is the most funniest thing we've ever seen. You can keep going. So I kept filming it. And the school was about to shut down. So I had to edit the movie every day. I would have to get up and do that every day to get the thesis film done. And then we had a summer break. And when we got back, all of the computers that they had, they wiped the stuff off the computers. Thank God I saved all my stuff on my hard drive and everything.
Ooh.
But they changed, we were using Final Cut. When we got back, they changed everything to Adobe. So we had to re-edit everything that we saw. It was...
Editors?
It was too hectic. And it got to a point, you know, I ran out of, you know, money for transportation. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get money from family to finish my thesis film so I can graduate. And...
Hello everyone, I am Ajay Tambe, the host and producer of Create Your Years Starting Podcast. And today I have with me a guy who was doing a 9-to-5 job, and then he decided, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then he took on training of acting. He did it. He failed a lot of times, but then he decided that he was not going to give up on this at this time. And then he decided to go for it all in. He failed, but then he succeeded, and he succeeded really good. That he won a lot of awards, and he has won a lot of awards in different fields, not just in one field, for example, not in just acting, but also writing and then in directing. So his journey is really good, and he's still going on with it, and I'm happy to have him on the show. Okay. How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing good, doing good. You know, they're doing construction for my house, so I'm trying to get some stuff done for the house, so they had to get it done. So if you hear a little hammers and nails, that's what's going on.
Oh, no, I'm not hearing anything, but okay. What I'm just hearing is your voice is going just a bit down. Is it, are you closer to mic? What's
yeah, that? You hear me better now?
Yeah, you can be comfortable, you know, you can just go back if you want to, if the voice is good for you. Okay, great. Okay, awesome. So, you know, before we talk about, like, you are in this business from last, I guess, 10, 15 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So before we jump on to your expertise and you being an expert in this acting, writing, drama, and you are practical executioner in this field, before we jump on how you got things done, I read your IMDb profile. That's the first thing. Okay. And there was a trivia, I guess. And there I read that you, as a 10-year-old kid, called all the studios in California as a 10-year-old. You call all those, and you thought you're going to launch yourself. It's the right time to launch yourself as a child artist. And then you call all those studios and said, hey, my name is Glenn and I blah, 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 blah. You did all those stuff. And then your parents came to know about it after they received a huge telephone bill. I guess it was back in 90s, and they got a huge telephone bill in New York City where your parents were living. And then they actually grounded you.
Yes.
I don't know how many months, but they grounded you. What the hell was that? What was going on in your mind?
You know, I knew from an early age I wanted to make movies.
Okay.
And I had a script. I think it was like a martial arts, kung fu action movie I wrote as a kid. And
okay.
I thought this would be the movie that's going to take me to Hollywood. So, you know, you're 10 years old. No, you don't know. You don't know.
All so, you see is Hollywood.
Right. Yeah. So they had a, I don't know if you guys had it in India, they had a Blockbuster. It's like a video store.
Yeah, we have it. Video store.
In the back in the 90s, Blockbuster, before Netflix and everything, was Blockbuster. So I would get the tapes, the VHS covers, and on the bottom, it'll have the address of the movie studio that made the movie. So I'll write all the addresses down. I got all the numbers, and I start calling them and say, hey, I'm Glenn McBride. I'm an actor, writer, director. I'm 10 years old, but I'm going to be a star one day. And you guys should really buy my script.
God. You actually said that you're actor, writer, director at age of 10.
Yeah, I knew, you know, in my mind, once I got my VHS camera from my uncle, mm-hmm. he gave me a camcorder. Mm-hmm.
I'm coming on that. But here's the quick thing. What was the response? What was the response from their side? They were just hung up on you, or they used to entertain you?
Say again?
So what was the response from their side? You know, they used to hung up on you, or they used to entertain you? The studios.
You know what? Nobody called me back. They sent me straight to so nobody called me back. But we did get a giant phone bill.
That's true.
And my parents were very, very angry, and mm-hmm. I was grounded. So no television, no going to the movies. You know, mm-hmm. that was my thing. That was my punch. No TV, no movies. So
how many months was it? For a month or for like very long time?
I think probably 3 months. So that was like hell for me. 3 months.
Yeah, back in those days, it was a lot of, you know, without social media. Back in those days,
we didn't have stuff like,
It's big time. It's like a year, I can see, if we count 3 months. Yeah, good, great. So now, here's the thing. Your parents came to know about it. And then your parents said, hey, I guess this guy is really interested in this field. And your uncle, those guys talked. And then they decided to give you a camcorder. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a camcorder as a gift. So you tried and you started making your own movies. So what kind of movies were you making as a 10-year-old? What was going on in your head?
Any crazy, stupid thing that came in my head as a kid. I was really into martial arts. You know, I was very into kung fu. I never took kung fu class in my life, but in my mind, you know, I'm thinking it was around the time Power Rangers came out. So, you know, as a kid, so I wrote a TV show called Lightning Squad. And it was, it was like similar to Power Rangers, but it was like, it was about five kids in New York City that has, you know, superhuman powers that fights evil. So I hired my friends. I got my camcorder, and we would shoot outside, and people would sit down and actually watch me direct my friends with my camcorder and enjoy the show. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, wow, I got a hit on my hand. They're watching it. You know what I'm saying? They're enjoying it. But I shot everything. I have the video. I shot my first action movie as a kid. I still have it. So I'll send that to you. You can check it out. It's really short. Like 2 minutes.
Okay, you can send it to me. We can add it on our Instagram and, you know, on this show as a video part. So this is going to be on Spotify video, so we can add it here. And we can have it as a evidence you did it, action movie at a 10-year old. So you're getting your friends to act in it, or how were you finding those guys at that period? You know, that was very, adventurous, I can say.
You know, I got my friends... you know, my brother, my little brothers, I'm the oldest, you know, there's three of us, so my two younger brothers, they were my actors, they were my crew. I didn't have to pay them, I didn't have to feed them, you know what I'm saying? So,
just free time.
Yeah, they weren't part of the union, so, you know, it was great. You know, I could work them extra hours, and just my friends. Everybody knew that I wanted to make movies. That's the only thing I talked about. You know, I want to make movies, and there wasn't a lot of kids around us that wanted to be in film business, so, you know what I'm saying? So I said, hey, I got a camcorder. I know how to write a script. You guys want to be in my movie? And that's how it worked as a kid. You know, I didn't think about money. I didn't think about a movie set. It was really, you know, just passion, you know?
Yeah. It's all about, you know, just how you guys play basketball. It just happens. You don't have to think again. You don't have to think twice to play a basketball game.
Right.
It's just normal for you. I guess it's that for you. And you got people of same age working with you. In that particular period, I guess, in your movies that you recorded on a camcorder? Or were you someone older, like, again, like 25, 30 for you in your movies? Or just same age group, like 10, 12, 13?
Same age group, just kids, you know what I'm saying? I think my dad, I think the action movie that I was seeing, my dad was the cameraman for that one. You know what I'm saying? Because me and my little brother, so we needed somebody to be the cameraman. So my dad was the cameraman for that one. But most of us, me and my friends,
Great. This is really great. You know, I actually used to do that, but I never had a camcorder. So I just used to imagine what you did, actually. As an artist, you know, as a makers and all, we all used to do it. But it's great to hear someone who has same interest, you know, just go ahead and just do it. Got it. It was great to hear. So here's one more thing. Really rushing to your childhood now. Your father and mother used to call you the walking TV guide. Now, how many hours you used to watch TV to earn this nickname?
I watch an enormous amount of hours of television. I had to watch TV, so it had to be anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. I just had to watch TV. I was so interested in what was on television. So I would watch Entertainment Tonight. I would watch Access Hollywood. I would watch anything about making movies. I would watch TV shows, commercials. I just wanted, I think, you know, as a kid, because I had a dream about making movies, there was nothing around me that was tangible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wasn't in Hollywood. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, there was no movie studios. So it was Blockbuster Video, going to the video store, going to the movie theater, and watching television. And I just watched enormous. So I knew I would read the TV guide, study it, and I would know every channel. I would know what show will come on at what time. He said, hey, what time Family Matters comes on? Oh, Friday, 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I was that kid.
It's you had a good memory as a kid. Like you can remember things.
The stuff I like to do. Anything else? Homework, I had no memory. I'll forget my homework, forget my science project. But when it came to movies, I knew everything about movies.
This part is really good of you. You're very curious about movies stuff and how the films are done, and that curiosity led to you to theater, to watch TV for I guess 10-11 hours, and then to go to the Blockbuster like video DVD store.
Right.
And then that curiosity let you do all those things. And then that's what I guess was the nurturing phase for you, just weaving all those movie and all those things in your blood, and now it's all coming out from you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. Now here's the thing. So I guess in school you were the same kid, all about movies and all, nothing really, nothing that. Were you studious or like just an average kid?
How was it, the average kid?
In studies. How were you? Oh. Like studious, excellent, or average? What was the thing?
I was so distracted. My grades were horrible. So I would daydream. If I wasn't watching television, I would daydream about watching television. So it was just like, I was daydreaming. And I used to draw. So I wanted to be a comic book artist too. So I would draw my comic characters. I would do storyboards in class. You know what I'm saying?
Storyboarding. So, great.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
awesome.
My grades were horrible.
Okay.
I don't know how I graduated.
So that's the thing. The reason I came up with this question is, till 2012, you were doing a job. So someone like you doing a job is the frustrating thing, because all your childhood and everything was related to films, movies, theaters, and comic books and storyboarding. Someone like you doing a job was like something scary for me. So that's why I thought like, how good were you, to get a job? So. That's the thing. So you did like 2012, now we're jumping to 2012 where you actually thought, no, I'm not going to do this. And you then decided to do acting. You then decided to actually take this as a profession. And, I want to learn this. Till then, everything was self-learning part, I guess, for you, right?
Yeah. Right.
You, how was the college phase? Were you like doing dramas and all? How that thing shaped? Was there anything related to acting and filmmaking direction in your college days? What was it?
So what happened was I was working as a paraprofessional in the education field. I was helping kids with special needs. So that's what I was doing. And I was doing stage plays on the side for my parents' church.
Awesome.
And it got to the point where the stage play thing wasn't really fulfilling for me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what it was like to be on a real movie set and really, be a real director, a real actor, and not just talking about it. So I was doing the stage plays, and I was going on tour with the stage play, and I was starring in it, acting and directing stage play with
the cast.
And the main cast member, Sister Leslie, she played my mother in the play, and the play did really well, and people loved the play. And she said, Glenn, thank you for giving me this role. I always wanted to be an actress, but I never had the confidence to do it because I was scared. And she was 50 years old. She said, don't do what I did. Go after your dream. And a week later, she passes away. So that kind of shook me to the point was like, I can't live my life knowing like that I never went after my dream. So I quit my job as a paraprofessional. I applied for the Art Institute of New York City, which is a film program, a two-year mm-hmm. film program. I got in, and that was the day that my life changed. I started to go to film school, and I actually found out I was actually good at it. I started working on real movie sets. I started working with real actors and cast. And everybody that you see in all my movies, Stall Buddies, Supply and Demand, everything I'm doing, Traffic Cop, is everybody I went to film school with in 2012. And to this day, we're still friends making movies.
Wow. This part is real good. This part is real. You are still working with the people who you have as a batchmates. And that's really good energy to have on sets. You know, you have good connections. So there's no, you know, getting to know new people. You know, as a director, it's really hectic sometimes to get new people on the on board. Right. You know your people. You know what their range is and what kind of thing and damage and destruction they can do once they get their favorite part. So you know what everyone can do. So, and you still have them as your friends. So you know who to pick when you have certain projects when you're coming up with. So this is really great. And the one more thing is like that actual realization of death. And then if you don't take chances, one day you're going to regret it. And then there may be a chance that you never get to live this life again.
Exactly.
And you got to take chances. You got to, you know, take that that jump. And then you can just, you know, you have to see what happens. You just have to jump. And then you have to see, because otherwise you'll keep on.
Yeah. And you can't be thinking about, oh, I don't have the money. Who do I know?
Yeah.
If I didn't make that jump in 2012, I wouldn't be sitting here in front of you talking about filmmaking. I would still be in my 9-to-5 job wondering, you know, if I could have made a movie or not. You know what I'm saying? So you never know who you're going to meet when you make that jump. Everybody from Giovanni Lozada, Sharon Bay, Ryan Staten, Vaughn, Kyle, Kyle Grant, was it? If you see the post behind me, though,
Black. Yeah.
I met him in high school. He was the first person I told in high school that I wanted to be a director. And we met each other at an acting audition in high school. He goes, well, my dream is to be an actor. I said, well, I hope one day, you know, we get to work with each other. Years later, we run to each other, say, hey, man, you saw acting? He goes, yeah. I said, you're directing? I said, yeah, I'm going to film school. And we've been working with each other ever since 2012 when we ran into each other again. You know what I'm saying? So you just never know who you're going to meet to make that jump.
Yep. So true. This is good. You know, you're jumping back to someone you told for the first time you want to be a director. And that guy is now working with you. You both are on a good level.
We did some five movies together. We got a movie coming out on Peacock that we're in. We got Stoke Buddies.
Wow.
We got Spider-Man, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's really good to look back. To say, hey, man, well, we were those two quiet kids in high school. Look all the stuff we've done. You know,
we did a
stage play, and it was sold out 10 nights. You know what I'm saying? And we're going, wow. Like, when we were at the acting audition in high school, we was wondering, are we making the right choice to even pursue this dream? Now we're in our 40s, and we're like, we made the right choice.
That was right. Yeah. That's great. And I'm really enjoying, you know, hearing these stories, because now there is a hope.
Yeah,
they're actually seeing this success and actually seeing like just things fall in the right place once you take the jump. You just have to have patience, and then things. This actually puts everyone in a better place. Like, there is hope if you just take the step and just believe in yourself and have patience, and then things will really fall into you.
It's not going to happen when you want it to happen.
Yeah,
you know, you just got to keep being consistent. You got to keep pushing. And I know I had my failures. I had multi-million-dollar deals on the table that I thought was going to change my life, and it fell through, and I had to go back to square one and start over again. But every failure has always changed my perspective on how to pursue the next project, the next venture. So I always learn something, you know what I'm saying? So
learn what didn't work.
And I'm grateful for the wins.
Great. Awesome. So now we are now in your 2012 phase where you just took admission. You were in that particular training period and filmmaking period where you're learning with your batchmates. You received the IMS Success Award for your buddy cop thesis film, Traffic Cops, at the Art Institute of New York City.
Right.
Now, can you share what you learned from that whole filmmaking process in that particular period?
Oh, boy, I got a story for you.
Great.
So when I got accepted to the Art Institute of New York City, everything was fine in the beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happened was it was a major budget cut in the school, but they were going to shut down the film program, and we were going to be the last graduating film program in the Art Institute of New York City.
No kidding.
So a bunch of teachers left. Mm-hmm. They were started to cut down on the film equipment.
Okay.
So we started to shoot a thesis film to graduate. Mm-hmm. No thesis mm-hmm. film, you don't graduate. So I gave them Traffic Cop. It's a buddy cop movie starring myself, Giovanni Lozada, and Sharon Babe. We all went to film school together. Yeah. They turned it down because it said the movie's too long. It has to be 5 minutes. It's a thesis. Your movie is 20 minutes. You can't shoot this. I went behind their back and shot it anyway without their approval. And because I was also working for the film school, I was working in the film equipment camera area. So I had access to all the new equipment and everything. So I rent out the equipment, go film it on thesis film on the weekend. They didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And one day they found out and they said, hey, we've been hearing you shooting a thesis film behind our back. We did not. So you might be expelled. I said, can I just show you guys a rough cut? And I showed them a rough cut. And they're like, this is the most funniest thing we ever seen. You're great. Wow. So I kept filming it. And the school was about to shut down. So I had to edit the movie every day. I would have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get to the school by 7, and I would stay in the editing lab till they kicked me out. I had to do that every day to get the thesis film done. And then we had a summer break, and when we got mm-hmm. back, all of the computers that they had, they wiped the stuff off the computers. Thank God I saved all my stuff on my hard drive and everything.
Ooh.
But they changed. We would use some Final Cut. When we got back, they changed everything to Adobe. So we had to re-edit everything that we were. So it was
too hectic. Edit is too hectic.
It was too hectic. And it got to a point, you know, I ran out of money. Ran out of, you know, money for transportation. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get money from family to finish my thesis film so I can graduate. And, you know, we had to do ADR. We had a sound studio at the school. Well, yeah. In the new building that they moved us to, there was no sound studio. So I said, well, how am I supposed to do ADR and record, you know, our voiceovers? They pointed to a closet. It was a closet. And when we opened it, it was a little microphone with a vent blasting on the microphone. And I said, that's your recording studio. I'm going, are you kidding me? Like, how are we going to get this done? So I had to go to one of my friend's house. He was a rapper. And he had the studio in his basement. I said, look, I got to do ADR. We got to do some voiceovers. Can we go to your studio and do it there? He said, sure. So I had to drive my car all the way to the city, pick the cabs, drive all the way to Long Island, which was like a 2-hour drive, just to do a voiceover and ADR so I could complete my thesis film and meet the deadline. So the moral of the story is, no matter what they tell you, get your movie done.
Get your movie done. God damn it. This is the next level hard work that you do. This is adventure. It's not just a thesis film. It's like an adventure of a guy who wants to make film, want to be a filmmaker, want to be a director, and life is just punching him left, right, and center. It was like everyone was against you, every situation was against you, and you still had the thing that, no, I'm going to do it, no matter what. So you're not even looking at those punches. You're not even looking at who is doing what to you. You're just focusing on, I just want to make that film.
I didn't have time.
You're the focus, the attention. You never shifted your attention to what other people. Okay, so if they are deleting my stuff, I'll redo it again. Okay, they're shifting to Adobe, I'll read it again. Okay, if there's no studio, I'll get another studio. You got a friend, you got a rapper who did this for you, and you managed time and you did that. You are going to be someone who will do a lot of bigger projects, and I guess same situations will be there for you, but you're not going to give up at any cost. And anytime you this shows like what kind of projects you can deliver and what situations can happen to you, but it will never affect you no matter what. So you will find a way, no matter what. Even if it's a small hole, you can find your way through that. And this kind of determination and the character that you have inside yourself as a director is like inspirational. You know, people need to hear these stories. Any director who is looking for, hey, this doesn't work out, okay, I don't have money, you know, this is completely what you should focus on, what your attention should be on, rather than what's happening. So you'll always figure out a way, because this thing keeps on happening. It's not just it happened to your thesis film, it may happen to your other projects, but then you learn it. I told you it happens, but now you learn how to fight with that thesis film. That was the biggest fight, and now once you learn how to fight, you come, no, I got this. Now, this is nothing for me. You know, this is just part of the business, and it's not going to even touch me. That's the thing.
Right.
You just move it like a dust. You know, just freaking it, and it's away. Great learning. It just sums it up for how you came here from as a kid to now doing thesis. This is next level thing. Thank you for sharing that story. This is really inspirational. Now we focus on you winning award in 2019. Now you graduated, you did films, and now you actually won an award for best acting in 2019 for the Long Island 72-hour Film Festival for your role in the comedy Millennial Cop. So how did you as an actor, now you winning an award, that this is a really different journey from starting from somewhere, finishing a project, coming up, executing, exercising, this became your daily habit. So how do you used to prepare for a film or for a role, for an audition, you know, in your starting journey? What was that?
When it came to that movie, I tell people all the time, the best thing is always networking. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
A lot of my roles, I didn't even have to audition for. It's me working on set and working with people and having great energy. And say, hey, Glenn, I know you're an actor. I have a role in mind for you that I'm writing for you. I'm going to give you a call in a couple of weeks and I'll let you know. So the director for that movie was like, hey, we got this contest we're going to do. I have you in mind to play a detective. It's a comedy. I've seen your work. You don't have to audition. Just be ready to be on set. So it's a contest. So what happened with the 72-hour contest, I don't get the script until the day I get on set. And we have to shoot the movie in 72 hours. So, you know, when I got on set, you know, I just had to read the line. We had maybe one rehearsal, and then we had to say action and go. But me acting in other projects, even my own, and preparing, when it came down to this one, where I just had to kind of learn the script that day, I was prepared because I, all the other projects I've done, from the stage plays, from just everything, all those years of just acting and stuff like that, when it came to that moment, I know how to improvise. I know how to read the script real quick and break down the script, you know, and what you know is who you know in this business. And because, you know, I tell people all the time, when you're a pleasure to work with on set, people want to work with you for the next project they have in mind. Nobody wants to work with somebody for 8 hours. That's going to be a terror. Nobody wants to, you know what I'm saying? Movie making is tough enough. And it's even tougher when you have to work with somebody you don't want to work with. That's not, you know, somebody that's pleasant to work with on set. So, you know, I worked with them in another project, so that's what they had me in mind for that movie. So when I got those set and they gave me the script, I had to break it down and I had to learn my lines in 5 minutes because we had to shoot this movie like in 72 hours. They had to shoot it that
5 minutes?
Yeah, because I think I had maybe 5 pages, 10 pages. It's like 5 minutes long, the script.
Okay.
So I had to learn my line, we did one rehearsal, and I'm like, all right, we got to go. We got to start shooting because they have to meet this deadline to edit the movie and submit it to this contest. So we get that done, and I think nothing of it. So they're like, hey, Glenn, you're going to come to the screening for the contest. You know, a movie got selected. I was like, I'll come through. And I didn't read the emails at the contest.
Okay.
I didn't get checked.
Okay.
So when I get there, they're like, hey, congratulations. I'm like, congratulations. What? They're like, you're nominated. So we talk about it. So they the screen, and I think we're nominated for 2 awards, best comedy and best acting by Glenn McBride. I'm like, what? I was shocked.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, we get there, you know, we're sitting there and they come now to, they're doing the different categories for the awards. So now it comes to the best acting. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going with this. You know what I'm saying? So I saw the other projects of these guys were good. And it's the best actor, Glenn McBride Jr. And it took me a minute. I heard it, but then it registered. But I heard my name and then it kicked in. And then that is actually the first award I won for the acting. And I was like, wow.
So, This is great. Great to hear. I mean, this is full of surprises, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you just focus. Yeah, you just focus on what you want to do. Like you just focus on, hey, just do it. It's just part of life now. Just getting a project. Okay, someone is calling me. I'm just interested in doing that job.
Right.
And suddenly you got 2 nominations and you won best actor. So you just played it all cool, or were you like, oh my god, what happened?
Inside, I was jumping around, and outside, I was cool. You just played cool. I had a nice speech. I set up a video. I'll send it to you. I wasn't even dressed up because I didn't think I was going to win. So I'm wearing like something like this, like all black hoodie and stuff like that. I'm just chilling.
Okay, okay.
When they say my name, I was like, oh, gosh, I got dressed up. I shouldn't have got dressed up. But yeah, I didn't think I was going to win. You know, I didn't think I was going to be nominated. So I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I didn't check the email. I didn't even think about it. I was like, nah. Mm. So no one's even going to go because I had something else to do. And I went at the last minute. I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I just made it. And they're like, yeah, congratulations. You're nominated. So I was like, what? I was like, wow. So, no, thank God I went.
This is cool. This is cool. You got really good stories, you know. You got great experience, and you're going to have good amount of stories in coming years. You just keep on sharing something to me, and I just keep posting if you have anything. Okay, great. Here's the thing. I'm excited about how you developed yourself to creating a film, then to acting. You know, the shifts are very different. You know, you have to jump, and not just normal shift. You're winning something. It's just not you're doing a side job as an actor and then performing all things in filmmaking and direction. You're winning in acting also. And you're winning in direction also. You're winning in making also. So in 2020, your comedy web series, Supply and Demand, that film got a good amount of recognition. Like, I cannot take the name of the awards. It's that big of list. It's like too many lists. Like, it's not one award, two award, you got 7 to 8 awards, I guess, for that particular web series, Supply and Demand. It's a comedy web series. So comedy is very hard to, you know, create and generate, and then to, you know, win a lot of awards from LA, from New York, from other cities, you know, in the film festivals. So how did you develop this web series? What was going on in your head?
I started writing the web series when I was in film school 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yes, I had this idea. I just want to do something funny. I love the comedies by Seth Rogen, Pineapple Express, Cheech and Chong, How High. So I went to like this funny stoner comedy. So I started writing it, and it was supposed to be a feature film, and we just didn't have the money to do it. So I was like, hey, let's do a web series. So I chopped it up into a web series.
Was there a concept of web series back then? Or like you just...
I think it was fresh.
It was really fresh. It was very fresh.
Starting, and it took us maybe 4 years to film everything, and we shot 2 seasons. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was doing different projects, and everybody's schedule was crazy. So we're trying to, you know, so we're getting back, and then we have to check the continuity. Somebody's hair has looked the same from last year. You know what I'm saying? We shot like things.
4 years.
So if you watch Supply and Demand, I have hair. That's a long ago. that's a long ago we shot it. So you know, but we put it together. It's starring myself, Kyle Grant, who I met in high school, that I told you about. Keith Lenzo, who also met in high school as well. He also would do comedy. And I ran into him years later when I was going to film school. And said, on the train, I said, hey, man, what you doing? He goes, I'm doing stand-up comedy. So what you doing? I'm doing movies. I said, hey, man, I got a movie called Traffic Cops. Want to be my movie? All right, cool. Oh, yeah. That was it. And we've been making movies ever since. And then Supply the Band, it's like the movie starring him and Keith. I mean, Kyle. And it's been doing really well. And we just finished shooting some extra scenes for season 2. So Supply the Man, the first season, I took all the episodes and put them to a short film to send season 1. So season 1 been winning a bunch of awards. So season 2, once season 1 is done and I'm done with the film festival, I'm gonna drop season 1 and season 2 each episode online, and then people can watch it and stuff like that. But I'm proud of it. We want to do season 3, but everybody looks different. You know what I'm saying? We're older now. So like, how do we do? So like, we're gonna make it into a comic book. Season 3 will be a comic book.
It's going to be a comic. You can, you know, come up with a really fresh plot after 4 years, 5 years, you know that.
That's true, yeah.
You can come up like what happened after 4 years, 5 years, and
old
then
man,
you can
supply,
you,
man. That's yeah. Old man.
Yeah. Just like 4 years later, what happened? And then you can be regular cut. You don't have to, you know, add hairs, and you can just be normal.
Right.
That's one plot idea I can share it with. Well, great. It was great. I'm going to tag some links and where people can find your work down below in the description, so they can go and check out your work on IMDb and whatever platforms your upcoming work is coming. And yeah, that's it. Now here's the thing. What's the best piece of acting career advice you received in your career, and how has it influenced your personal and professional decisions? Any advice you remember till date, or you got from somebody, you know?
I think the best advice I got with some of my family, my parents, they said, don't be motivated by money and fame. Just enjoy the journey of doing what you love. And I say that to everybody because I had a project that I was selected to do. All the red flags were there that this was going to be a terrible production from the very start, but the money was good. And then I needed the money. So I did it anyway. The amount of money that I lost dealing with that project, and the money that I gained from it, I got paid and that money went right out my hand because the drama and stuff like that from, you know, lawsuits and just people doing things and adding a lawyer to defend myself. And even though I won, all the money that I got paid to do this project, I had to go to the lawyer because I had to defend myself, you know. And it was something that was so, I knew from the jump that this was a bad project. I knew that from the jump that the people that I was going to work with were no good, but they had the money and they had the connections. And I just, you know, I wanted to be on that next level. And I just went through hell. And I said, you know what? I'm never going to be motivated by money or fame. Never. I'm going to be motivated by passion. So everything you see me do, supply and demand, store buddies, everything that's coming out, it's by passion. It's by passion. And, you know, the money will come. The money will come. Yeah. The money will be slow. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially when you're an independent director, indie director. You know, I still work a regular job. I say, no, I work 9 to 5 and then I shoot my movies on the weekend, stuff like that. And then save some more money, come back and shoot the best movie on the weekend. But you know what? I'm not frustrated. I'm not, you know.
Happy.
Right. I'm not going through what I went through. And I said, I'll never do that again. And the thing about it, that project that I was part of never saw the light of day. They never finished it. They never kept their promise on the contracts with the actors and myself. You know what I'm saying? So it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was all for nothing. I learned a valuable lesson. And a valuable lesson.
A big lesson.
Yeah, don't be more about money and fame. Don't worry about being famous and why you're not going viral on social media. Just do your thing. Do it with love. Do it with passion. You will meet the people you're supposed to meet, and doors will open for you on in due time. Just stay focused and enjoy the journey. Enjoy being a filmmaker and creator, and things happen for you. So that's my advice. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I guess that's really powerful advice. You know, how old were you at that period?
Oh, this wasn't long ago. I'll tell you this. At that time, I still had hair. By the time that stuff, I lost my hair. So.
Okay. Oh, that lawsuit actually got your hair. That lawsuit got all of your hair.
Yeah,
I guess.
I never been through anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not somebody
that was the first. But a year, can you share the year?
That was in 2021.
Okay, 2 years back. Okay. Okay, great, great. This part that you shared is really clears the fact that if even what year of journey you are, but 2021, I guess, 2 years back, but it really taught you a bigger lesson of what being happy means, like what having a happy life means. Like you are working, you're having a 9-to-5 job at this moment, but you shoot your film on Saturdays and Sundays and you enjoy it. Like you don't, you know, hey, what the hell, man? You don't do that. You enjoy because you know now the importance of money, but it will come. And how are you going to manage your funds and finances and how you're going to enjoy your dream of making films. Right. So you enjoy every single part. So you now you don't think of doing a job as a job, but doing a job as to you know, maintain your finances, pay your bills on time, and you then save your time and you then get the money and the time to, you know, build your dream, to make your films. So that really clears up the motivation of going to job. You know, you don't wake up to go to a job and do the job for the sake of just doing it. You actually maintain your financials by doing the job so you can, you know, have money for making a film and you can make it properly. And when you go to sleep, that time you are happiest person. Like there's no one knocking on your door. Hey, get up! And there's someone calling you. You know, doing the lawsuits and you know, trust that kind of projects. It's like early fame or early you think like, hey, this can get to me something bigger project. That actually is a trap. That's the biggest trap that you see that you can't see at this moment. But this lesson that you learn, okay, now you this kind of thing may happen to you in future. You will be very clear. Okay, no, that's not good, and this is good. And you'll figure out the people, how you, that a calculation that you got now, that's really going to help you out. And also me and also a lot of people who are going to listen to this. This really clears the thought of what you should look and where you stand at this moment and how, what can you get from your life. And then step by step, everything falls in places. But this really, you know, just clears the whole thing out. Thank you for sharing that. And now here's the thing. You do a lot of work on regular basis. I guess your life is really scheduled on hourly basis now. So acting, writing, filmmaking, direction, writing scripts, comedy, doing your job. and then, you know, getting a job, getting time to recording films, and you have a family now. So how you figure out the time? What's the work-life balance for you as a filmmaker?
I had to learn to really schedule my week out, write things down. And, you know, because I'm really motivated. Oh, let's get it done now. No.
Yeah.
Take your time.
No rush.
Don't rush it. I've done it in the past, rush stuff, and had to go back and reshoot stuff because I rushed it, didn't plan it.
Yeah.
So I take my time. And I think the thing is, I'm on my time clock. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not working for anybody. I'm not making a movie for anybody, but we have to meet this deadline. I work with a bunch of guys that I'm good friends with. We all work in a 9-to-5 and, you know, making movies on the weekend, whatever. So we all understand that, you know, we just take our time with it. You know what I'm saying? Jimmy Kelly, Brandon Brass, Kyle Grant, all my guys, you know what I'm saying? We just, you know, Sal, we just take our time. You know, we just had a writer's meeting last week for a feature film that we want to plan to shoot it, but let's take a time. Let's finish Stall Buddies. Let's finish Pull Out, a Christmas comedy. Let's finish a Hitman action movie. One project at a time. Yeah, right. Get one thing at a time. When it's done, edited, get the movie mixed, mastered, we're good. Let's go to the next one. That's the way you have to do it. Don't rush. You don't have to prove to anybody that you're making movies and you're working. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do it like that. You know what I'm saying? Just take your time. Schedule everything out. And also, give it a chance to rest. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn that too. Need rest. Take care of your health. I wasn't doing that. And my body just burned out. And, you know, you don't have to do it to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do it. Just take care of yourself. Exercise. Eat. Rest. And then your whole life doesn't have to be about film. Go out and do something totally different. You know, go for a nature walk. Go to a museum. Go to something totally different that has nothing to do. Because you need to turn that off. You know what I'm saying? So you can recharge and come back better. You know what I'm saying? We just have the generation that, you know, you just have to keep doing stuff, keep doing it. Yeah, but you're going to burn yourself out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to burn yourself out. And it's not worth it. It's not worth your health. It's not worth your time. You have family members that love you. And you want to live to see your work.
Live the life.
You want to live to see your work. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I have to learn.
You learn with the process. Learn this with process.
Take your vitamins. Do not quit your 9-to-5 job. Do not quit. No, I'm going to be a struggling artist. No, because when it's time to get your teeth fixed, you need health insurance. You know what I'm saying? When it's time to go to the doctor, you need health insurance. I'm serious. When it's time to, you know, put gas in your car, you need money to put gas in your car. You know what I'm saying? And everything in this world right now is, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We was hit with COVID, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then we had this actor strike where I have a lot of friends who can't work. You know what I'm saying? And now they have to get a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? That was their bread and butter. So everything's up in the air. You really don't know what's going to happen. So I don't
That's true.
9-to-5, you know what I'm saying? Save your money. And just, you know, life is not all about making movies. You know, it's a passion. I love it, but I had to learn there's more to life than making movies.
More to life.
You know, when you live your life like that, when you do your passion, it'd be more rich. No, it'd be more, you know, it'll be more fulfilling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, good.
No, that's what I learned.
Awesome. And this thing that you told me, the work schedule, now you came to know, like, there's more to life. And you have to schedule things one project at a time. You don't have to rush it. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. Right. And just believe in your process. Have a process, because then you can come up with more productivity and more skilled and more betterment with every project. If you just do one project at a time and then you've seen what didn't work, what worked, and then you come up with something newness in the next project. That's how you... So this process, to everyone who's new in this business, can only rush up, hey, this, blah, 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 a lot of stuff. So that's what I did. That's what you did in the starting phase where you burned out. You know, you was just burning out. I just do more projects. Right. But then you came to know at a point where this is the process that you learn only by doing it. It's just not one who is going to start in, hey, no, now Glenn said me, I'm going to... It doesn't get into your head until you fall into that place. It just you also learned it with time, like what processes, what scheduling means, what actually having a job of 9-to-5. For someone who is new, can't even understand doing a job. Like they know I'm completely going to struggle and I'm going to do it. And that once they fall into places, things fall into places. It's like 1% who works out. But what about that rest 99%? You know, it's just 1% of people who thought like they are just going to struggle and things work out for them. But there's 99% who just, you know, fail to even survive. So this thing that you told me about surviving in this business and having a schedule, this is the thing that I really admire, because I also do the same now at this moment. One project at a time, one thing at a time. So, you know, yeah. Because then you get time to do other things. Then you get time to do work on your health, be better in the next project. Because I guess you must have been experiencing that, like, once you take care of your health, you go better in the next project. You go better in the next project. Like, there's more productivity and more brain working in the next project. And you try to better yourself, because now the health is in your hand and you have a lot of rest time or something that is not about your work. It's going to help you in the projects. So this is the perfect project, but process, but it comes with time, I guess. There's one thing, it's one thing that there's a burnout involved in your journey. You can't skip the burnout, but you will come up with them. You'll, at the end of the day, you'll understand what we are saying. As a day. Okay. So one thing I really love about you, you are all about comedy, you know, you love comedy. You and comedy are best friends. It's like you got inspired by comedy. You got inspired by a lot of famous comedians, you know. It's just not one comedian, but it's a lot of comedians that inspired you. I am not remembering the name at this moment, but one of them is really my famous one, like my favorite. What's the thing of you with comedy, you know? Like your project, 90% of your projects are comedy. So what's the thing here?
Oh, when it comes to comedy, the first person that ever inspired me to get into Eddie Murphy. So Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Eddie Murphy. I forgot. Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
He's my favorite. As a kid, and I was like, wow, that guy is the coolest. I saw Beverly Hills Cop on television. I was like, wow, that guy is so cool. And it was actually a Black History Comedy Marathon on the channel. So the show Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get you stuck with Keith Ivy Wayne and then Hollywood Shuffle with Robert Townsend. And I was like, I wouldn't do a ghost that I could do. So I was always funny as a kid. I was always joking and stuff like that. And I like, and I wanted to be a stand up comedian at first. And I was like, no, I don't know if I want to write jokes every day, but I like movies. Mm-hmm. I like comedy. And I do that. So I love comedy. And a lot of the stuff that's in my movies is stuff that I've seen or happened to me. And I just kind of tell it a funny way.
Yeah,
comedy is, I love comedy. You know, I love other genres, horror and drama and stuff.
But comedy is, I guess it comes natural to you. You know, you do. Yeah. You work on scripts or you took, because nowadays stand-up comedy is like big profession now. You know, it's kind of profession. There can be a whole stand-up comedian career, you know, for normal people. Like people who just want to dream one day to be a stand-up comedian. So now they set, they learn, teaching and all. How was your learning period of comedy? It just happened by movies, or you really went into the process of, you know, working on the scripts, plotting the set, and what kind of things are there in stand-up comedy? Like, you learn anything, or how that imbibed in you?
As a kid, you know, even now I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, especially mm-hmm. I always listen to stand-up albums, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, different comedians. You know, I just love comedy, Louis Ray Moore. So when it came down to writing movies, listening to comedy albums as a kid and watching stand-up specials, I knew about comedy timing.
Okay.
So, I didn't know how to write a funny line, a funny situation, and stuff like that, and just watching comedy. But then also, I would, let's say, my favorite comedy was, Adam Sandler's Grown Ups or whatever. I would find the script and I would read it, and I would watch the movie. So I did with all those different comedy movies as a kid. I would find the script of my favorite comedy movie and then read it. So I learned how to
timing,
write a joke and everything. Yeah. So it came down to write my own stuff. You know, I was prepared. I was just a comedy nerd. I'm saying, no, a living color, Saturday Night Live. Just a comedy nerd. So I just watching comedy albums, listening to comedy albums and watching comedy expressions constantly as a kid. I just learned about timing. Saying, you know, came down to write, you know, comedy movies like Traffic Cops, Supply and Demand, Full Out, Small Buddies. Black, white, I just knew how to write jokes, though. In a stand-up comedy form, but in a movie form.
Yeah, got it. The stand-up comedy I came up because, you know, you are bigger fans, you know, you're a huge fan of all those stand-up comedians. And I guess I thought, like, you were a fan of the stand-up comedy, but you are actually a fan of comedy movies. So your process is really different. This learning part is really natural, which is like you watch a movie and then you get the script of that movie. You watch that movie, and then you connect the timings, and the timing is what you learn, that the process of that's the teaching, that's the learning phase of actually knowing the comic timing, how to write comedy lines, you know, the punches. And that's what you learn from that particular watching comedy. I guess you still do the same thing. So this is how you, this is your actually education of, you know, writing and doing the comedy things. You actually watch those like great people doing their jobs, and then you see, hey, how that guy did it. And I just need to know how that did it. And that's your learning process. So then you come up with your own stuff.
Yeah.
And this is how you plan your comedy. Okay. I really thought it might have been different, you know, but this is really new thing. Like, this is a really cool thing, of which it comes very natural. There's no education involved, but indirectly you learn by, you know, just being curious how this happened and how this line, how that guy said, hey, how Adam Sandler said that line, how the scene happened. That's really curious. That makes you curious about, you know, I just want to make it. I just want to know what is going on, and I'll see what is in that. Okay, great.
Yeah,
because that's what I, go on, go on.
And a lot of times I don't, like, even supply the man, it didn't start off with an idea. It started off with a funny scene. So I'll just write a funny scene.
Key.
And I'm like, okay, this is funny. And then I'll just keep writing. And then I'm like, oh, I have a movie. You know what I'm saying? I have a plot idea. I have a funny.
There was just your outline.
Sketch. And then I'll just keep writing. That little sketch turns into like a 30-page script. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times, I don't have a plot in my head. I just have something funny. And I start writing that, and then that would branch out. And I'm like, oh, whoa, I got a movie here. I got a movie here. I'm saying, oh, wow. It would be a conversation with me and the guy. And we're just laughing, telling funny stories. Like, I'll give you a great example. Pull Out is a romantic comedy about two friends. We found out our best friend got his wife and missed his pregnant at the same time.
So hold on. I'm coming on your upcoming movie for the Christmas part. So just hold your answer for that. Okay, just don't tell it now. Like, you got it. I was just curious about that particular part, you know. Now, here's the thing. Now, I want to know your point of view as you shift on roles of acting, filmmaking, writing, direction. So what's your point of view on acting versus directing?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
So you keep on switching your roles, you know, acting, writing, directing, producing, you know, comedy. So there's a lot of shifting of roles happening. So you are now in front of camera, behind the camera. So what's your point of view on acting versus directing?
When it comes to acting, instead of directing or acting in my projects or being in front of the camera, it's a lot different. It's a different muscle. You're more vulnerable when you're in front of the camera than behind the camera. It's different. When you're in front of the camera, you gotta get it. You gotta get that tape. You know what I'm saying? No, you gotta get it in. And if you don't get it, you know, that's on the screen forever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's it.
Oh, like, got it.
That's it. No, directing is a little bit different. I like acting more than directing, because when I'm acting and they say I'm done, I can go home. I go straight home. When you're directing, you're the producer. You got to stay late night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Late night. Yeah. There are tons of other people who have to do their job, and you have to, you know, be there and guide them. Yeah. Okay. So from you tell, it's a different muscle, you know. From your point of view, it's like for you, there can be mess ups behind the cameras that cannot be, you know, like seen by other people. But on camera, you have to do that thing, you know. You have to deliver that part. So that's the thing. You have to get things done on camera. And the advantage is, like, once you're done, you can go home.
Yeah. That's a wrap. Oh, I'm going home.
Yeah.
When I'm directing and producing, and I gotta stay and, you know, transfer the footage, look at the footage, and I'm up. And then when I direct and I go home, I'm looking at the footage all night. I'm going through it. So you don't sleep. But when you're acting, you go home.
Yeah, it's a job done for you as an actor once you deliver the take. But as a director, you have to be there. Then you have to see the edits. Then you have to see how things are done. Then you have to do the late nights of editing that part. And hey, this didn't go well. You have to do this again. And all we have to, you know, there's this other part that, hey, there's no sync in between. What the hell is that? Where's the costume and all?
Right.
So you did a lot of matchups and all. So there's a lot of brainstorming happening inside. Yeah. And there's a lot of headache and burnout as a director. But as an actor, it's like, yeah, you have to do it. But once it's done, you are done.
When you're the director, you're the producer, you look at the editing, like, you're frustrated. Like, I see the boom mic in the shot? Oh, my God. That's a perfect take. I can't use that. You know what I'm saying? When you're an actor, you don't go through that. You just go home.
Oh yeah, wow! That's a really different point of view I heard from you. Good. Now we jump on your upcoming Christmas movie. So as this interview is going to release up late, but once it is released, I am going to release this clip or before the movie, you know, 1 week before the movie, I'll try to come up with this clip. So please go in detail about your this project, which is by name Pull Out. Sounds like a unique concept, you know. Can you give us a sneak peek into the storyline and the creative process behind it? What is the movie, the whole thing, the cast, the people, your reason for doing this movie?
Gotcha. Pull Out's a romantic Christmas movie. Story myself, Brandon Brass, Eugene Barnes, Angela Robinson. We have a huge, huge cast. Jenna, my guy, Frankie, we have a huge cast, Okay. And it's a romantic comedy, a Christmas romantic comedy. It's about a guy who finds out that he got his wife and mistress pregnant at the same time. And we find out at a Christmas dinner, get together, all the, and things just go crazy. And it's a funny comedy.
Christmas dinner, 2015.
It's a Christmas comedy, yeah. So we shot it last year. We started writing the script during COVID. So we will have like Zoom meetings like this. You know,
okay.
And we sort of write the script and stuff like that. And we're, you know, our final draft, you can share the screen and kind of see, you know, so we'll write the script like that. And we started casting. I think everybody that we casted, we wrote the script in mind for them already. So we kind of knew who we wanted. Got it. To shoot. And then we were done. So it's a funny comedy. It's coming out next year. I just have to shoot an extra scene. We're going to shoot that next month during Christmas. We gotta get some B-roll. You know what I'm saying? Some
it's coming next year.
Yes, it's gonna come out next year.
I thought like next month. I thought. Okay. So I said it in a way like, you know, I'm going to release the clip. I actually said that before starting this clip, like, okay, this is coming next month, so I'll release it. But it's an upcoming movie. Pull Out is an upcoming movie. Yeah, it's a comedy movie. It's Christmas, pure Christmas movie. Send me when it's going to release. I can have you and other people, you know, to do the promotional part for you, you know, interview you guys. So we can do something creative for your movie and any of your projects. I'll be there to help you out with marketing and in promotional part, doing interviews, and you can, you know, you promote your movies by our show. So that's one thing that can happen. And this really cool concept. So who came up with this concept?
So the concept, Brandon Brass, who's the co-writer and also the main star, he came up with the idea because he was actually in the hospital and he was doing COVID and his time was giving birth to his kid. So he had to keep running back and forth in the hospital to see his kid and stuff like that, run back and forth. He's like, it'd be funny if one guy had two women giving birth at the same time, he had to keep running back and forth and stuff like that. How would that look? So he pitched it to us and we started writing the movie and we had the script done, but we was going to shoot it, but things got pushed back. But Doug's like, hey, we may have to shoot this in December. Let's change stuff around and make it a Christmas movie. And that's how the idea for the Christmas movie came, to make it a Christmas comic. So we changed some stuff to make it more Christmas.
So that running back and forth for his wife, girlfriend, I guess.
Exactly.
He just added one more woman to the part. That really set down to comedy. I guess this is one really beautiful part of you and really going to stick with you throughout your lifetime till the time you make movies, is that you really stick with people. You really hold all those batchmates or anyone you meet, you think this is going to be my team member, my co-member, you stick with them. And that's why, and that's going to be the reason, you know, we're going to meet new people. Once you know that he's my guy, this guy is going to do this role for me, you, this really solves the thing for you, you know, you just solve the puzzle really fast. This film, that you know who's going to do that part for you. Right. So that really solves, like, you don't have to, you know, rush for, like, what's going to happen. You can just, like, this step one is already done. So you just move to the next part, and that really sort things out, like, you know, who's going to deliver what for your movies. So this is the best part, you know, directors who really stick with the, as you know, there's a bunch, there's this form of, you know, part of a director who stick with the actors, just keep on changing the role. Actually, those guys really work things out really faster because they know what they are going to deliver. And just changing the role, shifting their parts and doing that part really works. So this is the best part I really loved about you, that you stick with the core, and you know now your the whole journey of you, how you're going to deliver. I guess you have that 10-year framework in your mind, and then you come up with one project at a time. So that really works for you. Great. Now, here's the thing. Can you reflect on the challenges you faced and the lessons you learned along the way your current success. I came to know about your lawsuits and all. But that part really wrecked you up. You know, that part was really a disastrous thing for you. Any other like rejections, failures, how you dealt with them and how you overcome them? What helped you overcome them?
I had a lot of multiple rejections. Even now, when I graduated from film school, I was supposed to get a job as a production assistant. I was so excited for a big Netflix TV show. And when I got there, the people lied to me, said it's not a PA job, it's a job for dishwasher. So I get there and I worked my way as a dishwasher on that set. And I mean, that was so crushing. I was so excited to be on a real movie set and I would watch the dishes. So I would see the cast and the crew do what they're doing. And I'm in this room watching dishes and I would get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I wouldn't be until 3 in the morning. That's how many dishes were there and stuff like that in this movie set. Yeah. And it was at that moment when I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do my own projects. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'll work my way up in the movie field and just do that. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go all independent and just do my own thing. Yeah. So I learned even through failures, there's a lesson learned that you will learn. And a lot of these failures that I went through opened my eyes to the thing that I can do that would take me to the next step, you know, in my journey as a filmmaker. So I think it was that. It's always, you know, something like that. You know, even with, I was shooting a movie and the main actress couldn't make it for the last day of filming. And we're going to film, you know, the next day, you know what I'm saying? And she couldn't make it. I was like, look, I got actors coming, fine, and I can't cancel the shoot. I already got the location. So me, my writing partners, had to write a whole new scene that night for filming. And I was like, hey, we're going to learn the lines now, and we don't say that. We're learning as we go. I got people flying in. I can't cancel this location. And so even with that, you learn. You're like, you know, I learned not to panic. I learned not to panic. Okay. Yeah. This is going to what can we do?
Yep. There's one part of me that really can connect with you. You fall for that bait of being on Netflix or something related to Netflix. Mm-hmm. Netflix is not just a name. It's the name now. So it's like everyone's dream. Now Netflix has become what movies was before. So doing a Paramount movie or doing something related to like bigger projects, you know, big production house. Netflix is that. So something which adds up in your IMDb or something gets added, you know, it really is a bait. And this is really tricky for people who are not even aware of where they can end up. Like that guy really baited you. And that thing happened, like you ended up as a dishwasher. But that really, sometimes things happen to, you know, just to give you clarity. Right. Just you become now totally clear. Once you're down, dusted, that's where you become very clear.
Yes.
Done. I mean, it's enough now. I'm done with this. I'm going to be very clear of what's going to happen with me now. Exactly. Sometimes, these things happen just to make you very clear and just to make you very strong. So, you know, you don't fall for it the next time. That's really a lesson to learn. And the other part that you say, this change is like, you know, some important people don't show up when things are really important and when things really matter for them. So this impromptu, this also happened in theater plays, you know, sometimes in stage dramas, you know, some guy doesn't show up anytime. This thing is really tricky, you know. Even I do audio dramas, and sometimes I contact actors, and this is really tricky. You have to change the whole thing, you know. That being director, that job is really hectic, you know. You have to come up with something, and sometimes projects are really close to your heart, and you have to tear them apart, you know. You really don't want to, but you know, these are just small adjustments that this really happens with. But one thing I can connect with you is like, all you have to do is patience. Don't panic. Don't panic is one thing I learned with this interviews of doing with, you know, just time shifts. Now, here's a small example I'm going to give about you. We had a conversation, I guess 6 a.m. for you, 6, 7 a.m. You already did, you already set it up. And that time I was, you know, just having my lunch and all. And we agreed on 1 hour. And I was sitting here for 35, 45 minutes. This kind of communication, you know, that time. But now I'm used to it.
Right.
You know, just getting, you know, this miscommunication happening, because now this is an international thing happening. Yeah. So we all connect via Gmails or via Instagram or messengers. So this is not the first time that happened with me. It happened with me for a very long time. It happened. This is normal. Like, this became an SOP for me. So I gave up on, okay, once he show up, once the guests show up, right, then I do things. Rather than, you know, coming up with, hey, this. So I just like, okay, when things happen, then and then on, I'll consider this is going to happen. Rather than considering, okay, this is going to happen, then I booked it. I just gave up on that. I just came to know, like, okay, this will happen with me because there's a very small line of communication is going on until the guests know me or meet me. This very thin line of communication is happening there. And this impromptu thing is really tricky. But yeah, you the panic, don't panic.
Don't panic.
It will happen. Yeah. You have to do some impromptu. That comes with being a director, being a writer, that impromptu thing. You have to change the storyline in the last minute.
Yeah.
Yep. Got it.
You have a choice. Don't panic. You have a choice. That's right.
You have a choice.
You were tired. I'm so tired. But
yeah,
it came out good. The scene came out good. And it's funny. It's not the scene that we wanted, but it's like, hey, we got to get this movie done. We're going to lose a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We'll get these actors back. So we got to come up with something. I'm saying, and we did. I thank God for that, that we did. So
good, great. This is not the first time that happened with you. It this was one of the examples that happened with you. Now, here's the thing. Now you, as a filmmaker, as a writer, one who won a lot of awards and one who had a journey as a kid, as a 10-year-old, to now someone who is really professional, who has seen ups and downs and downs which, you know, tear you apart. Then you came up, build yourself to the man that you are at this moment professionally. And you went through a lot of unnecessary, hectic stuff that was, which was not even like you never thought it would happen to you. You still figure out a way to make things work for you as a filmmaker, as a writer, as a director, as an actor. So you did all those things and you still are doing it. What advice you have for a young one who's just starting, who may have same story?
I would say to a young person just starting, write what you have in mind. I think a lot of kids, when they start, when they make movies, they want to do a big action, sci-fi, special effects movie. It's like, look, you have a house, all right, put that in your movie. What scene can you write in your room? You have a room, write that in your script. No, we want these big budget ideas as a kid, and you're going to burn yourself out. Write what you know. Hey, my room, no, what scene can I write in this little room right here, in this scene with me and my two friends? Do that. Shoot it. You don't need a lot of equipment. You got cell phones now. You can buy a whole phone, get up an Amazon for $100 now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get little lights and stuff like that. And just shoot it. It's going to be perfect. No, who cares? Just shoot it. Get it done. Edit the movie. You got iMovie. We got edit softwares on the iPhone now. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get it done. And then shoot another movie. And shoot another movie. And then also watch the classic movies. Watch the classic movies. Watch, you know, study Steven Spielberg, George Lucas. Study these guys. You know, study their journey. And just keep it simple. You know what I'm saying? You know, even my first feature film that I'm writing, I'm keeping it simple. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't have a lot of money. So what can I do? You know what I'm saying? What do I have access to that I can put in the movie that I can make it work? So it's that. And then just have fun. Be creative. Have fun. You know what I'm saying? You know, and just, you know, and then also connect with like-minded people. I think that's the biggest thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody that I'm friends with, we all want the same thing, just making movies, and we all work together. You want a core of people that's going to, you know, push you forward, you know, and uplift you for your dream, and vice versa. And maybe two people, maybe three, maybe 10, whatever. It doesn't mean, it's not the number. It's just, you know, if everybody's like-minded and have the same vision.
Yeah.
And learn how to write, you know what I'm saying? I'd say even my friends are actors. Write your own projects. Why are you waiting for someone to cast you?
Cast you.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not waiting for anybody to do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. If you don't see me, you know, as a cop, fine. I see myself. Like, I can play a cop. You don't see myself in an action movie? Well, I see myself. I know I can do an action movie. So I write it for myself. Learn how to write and also learn the business of film. And that's the thing that I had to learn the whole way. Learn the business. Learn about contracts. Learn about NDAs. Learn about, you know, the terminology, because this especially with the SAG strike, you know what I'm saying, with these terminologies and stuff like that, and these terms, mm-hmm. things, is because people, you know, a lot of people don't read the contract. They just want to be in front of the camera. But then if you get your contract, they'll say, you signed it. So you agreed to this. I'm saying, and now you're stuck. And that's what I did with the lawsuit. I was I wanted the money. I didn't read it. Oh, we're good. I'm good. And then they're like, my lawyer's like, I think you should read this. Really look at it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I had to stop, you know, doing what I'm doing and learn the business. And I'm still learning. I'm still reading stuff like that. I still learn asking questions. You know, I had to get myself an entertainment lawyer. Okay, you can't get yourself an entertainment lawyer, but know what that is and why you need it. You know what I'm saying? Educate yourself. Then just know about film equipment and about movies, but about the business, because it's more about the business than that's about filmmaking in Hollywood. So know the business.
Know the business. That's the best advice I got. I was just going to ask for acting career, but you gave advice for all the careers. You give the advice for all the careers. Any last piece of advice for aspiring actors from your side?
For aspiring actors, I would say, I think for the aspiring actors, I think it's just time to take control of your own career. Mm-hmm. Write your own projects and learn how to direct and write. Learn the behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? You see guys like Ben Affleck, he's directing movies and putting himself in movies. Matt Damon, you know, different guys in Hollywood, they're not waiting for the studios to green light projects. They're like, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to raise some money. Because, you know, nobody knows your talent better than you. So why not write the script, the movie for yourself? You know what I'm saying? In tune, I don't see for all the actors, even going to auditions, even for a project you're not really interested in, go anyway. Because I've gone to auditions for movies. I'm like, that's not my cup of tea, but I went anyway. And I met somebody that I was supposed to meet that helped me. That said, hey, man.
Right. So there's a hidden connection that you don't see just by, you know. Yep.
Exactly.
There's a hidden connection that can happen just by networking to the people that you don't know will be there in an audition or any. So the network that happens just by going, so just don't say no. Okay, right. that's one additional tip that I got from you. Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you so much. So here's the thing. Where can people find your work on, like, streaming platforms? The previous work and the upcoming work. Where can they find your work on the platforms? Can you mention the platforms?
Gotcha. So right now, everything will be released online next year. So I'm doing the film festival right now. So I can't put anything online right now because the film festival. But next year. I'll drop everything on my Instagram, which is DIR Glenn Jr. Films. And I have a movie supposed to be coming out on Peacock, but right now with the strike happening, just waiting to hear about that. But so pull out and everything, we'll do the film festival route next year. And then once that's done, we're going to drop everything on my Instagram and stuff like that. But I do have a action movie that I was a producer of called The Abiding. You can find that on Amazon, Apple TV, stuff like that. So The Abiding is an action movie. It's about a hitman. West of Texas. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the producers on that movie. So you can check that out. So
great. I'll be linking whatever links you can send it to me. I can just link them down of your social media handles and your work where people can find your work. IMDb link. Everything will be mentioned down. So whatever link where people can watch your work and upcoming work and stay connected with you will be linked in the description. So make sure you guys go and check out the description so you can connect with Glenn and you can follow him. Do follow him, first of all. Do follow his work and whatever work is done, just go and check out on IMDb. Everything will be linked properly. Thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you for connecting with me. We got to chat on Instagram, then we schedule a thing. I guess you got your microphone corrected and your headset. The moment we had our first meeting, you were like, hey, I don't know. I have no idea. I'll get a microphone, but give me some time and I'll manage something up. And you did. You got a good background at this moment. But some some construction is going on at this moment, but you still manage. That shows how focused you are, you know. The focus that you have. I have to be here. I have to do this thing. I have to share some part of my life with this guy. And you are doing it. So you are not even getting disturbed by any constructions going out. This is really, really, I really appreciate that about you. And this thing happened. I thought today is not going to happen, but somehow we got connected, reconnected back. And it's early morning for you. I know you have a lot of works and a lot of schedule. You have your job at the same time films. You still got time for me, like, I guess, 1.5 hours. But I'm really happy to know about you, how you got started. Some part of me is also there in your story. I can connect myself with your story also. Some part people can also connect by listening to your story. And this is really inspirational. Keep doing it because I get inspired by you now. You know, I can connect with you and something that you do also help me. Hey, Glenn is doing that. So something happened with Glenn and he never gave up. So that also boosts me up sometimes, you know, when I get disappointed or like no disheartened. So your story is really inspirational. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.